Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart, and today we're celebrating the Outer Critics Circle Awards. Next up, Tom Hiddleston, who was honored with an Outstanding Actor in a Play for his role in Betrayal, which received 3 Outer Critics Circle honors. Harold Pinter's Betrayal was first produced in London in 1978. 40 years later, it was revived again this past fall on Broadway, but so much about the production feels new. Variety called the Broadway production both quietly radical and faithful to Pinter's play. The New York Times said Betrayal has never been done full justice on Broadway until now. The play begins with the end of its story, the story of a 9-year affair. The play opens with Emma and Jerry 2 years after their affair has ended. Emma is in the midst of splitting up with her husband, Robert, Jerry's longtime best friend. From that ending, the play rewinds time, stopping to highlight the betrayals that occur between the 3 characters, the unhappy end of the affair, Robert's discovery of it, and then how it all started. The set is stark and uncluttered and is deceptively simple because, well, relationships which look one way on the surface can be very different when you start digging deep. It featured Charlie Cox as Jerry, Zawe Ashen as Emma, and Tom Hiddleston as Robert, all in their Broadway debuts. Tom and Zawe joined me in the studio last September to discuss Betrayal. I began by asking them about the first time they'd ever read the play.
I read Betrayal. I was aware of Pinter. I did English literature as a specialist subject for A-level. That's the last 2 years of school in England. We did all kinds of things, Shakespeare, Jane Austen, the classics. And our modern drama was The Homecoming by Harold Pinter, which presented itself as very different, very spare. All the other poetry and drama we'd read was quite verbose, quite florid, quite like Shakespeare, to be honest. This was a very modern play about power and sex and family, and with Pinter's now very familiar brutal prose. And then I went to drama school to train as an actor in London, and I was in the library on a wet Wednesday afternoon, and I was given Betrayal to do as a sort of part of a dramaturgy class, and I sat in the library and opened it. And then I just sat on the floor and read it. And I was 21. This must be 2002. And thought, wow, that's a really interesting play about relationships and about intimacy. And I'm far too young. I'm 21 years old, and maybe this would be something, I'd love to do this, you know, one day in the very distant future when I'm old enough. Of course, the future came quicker than I thought it was going to, because that's how time works.
That's so interesting. You said 21. Yeah. I'm trying to imagine what a 21-year-old would get out of that play. Was it the way it was written? Was it the intrigue?
I think it's the bravery and the honesty with which Pinter depicts how people relate in relationships, I suppose. I've just found it very interesting about fragmentation, the fragmentation of our identity, the fragmentation of relationships, that we, in any relationship, we can present one aspect of ourselves, and further down the line, these other aspects are discovered by partners, and maybe they're less, they feel less acceptable or less sanitized. Mm-hmm. Pinter, it seems to me, always writes with honesty about the complexity of people. There are no simple characters in Pinter, I think.
Zawe, as you started to work on your character and really dive in,
yeah,
and you're a writer as well.
I am.
What did you start to appreciate about his writing as you started to work on your character?
Well, for me, and just to sort of circle around Tom's story for a second, so I first got introduced to Pinter when I was about 19. Sorry, not trying to trump your age, the age that you discovered him, but I played Anna in Old Times, which is another one of his plays, which is referred to as one of his memory plays, and I think it's really interesting for people to know that this is one of Pinter's memory plays, because so much of it is about people trying to remember specifically where their lives might have changed or where their lives began or who they were when they were younger, and reflecting on all of that hope. And I read Old Times when I was 19 and I just thought, I dig this guy. I know I'm 19 and I don't really understand anything that's happening, but I just know that I commune with this atmosphere that he creates. And so flash forward to now and us starting to reread the play and get deeper into the Pinterverse, as Jamie Lloyd, our director, calls it. I think the first thing that I sort of drew on for Emma was just that she's not accountable. No one in this play is accountable, and I think there are so many ways that you can view this play, but one of the ways I was afraid people would view this play, or that I would view Emma, is that she's responsible for the affair, because she's the one who's sort of seeing both of them, and so you know, the common denominator maybe in some way. But I just had to say, this is a woman whose life is complicated. These are two men whose lives are very complicated. These are three people who are so layered and complex and emotional and lonely and passionate, that how could they not, in a weird way, form this triangulation? Getting rid of the judgment, I think, is always the first thing with Pinter, because his characters are brilliantly despicable in so many ways.
I have to ask about the physicality. You both have really interesting presence on stage. For the first, I want to say 20 minutes, Tom, you are so still. Mm. You are.
You love that bit.
You are aggressively still.
It's an interesting description. Yeah, well, one of Jamie's great ideas for our production was to have all three of us on stage at the same time. To represent the guilt in the minds of each couple, whether it's Robert and Jerry, Robert and Emma, Jerry and Emma, that the other person is present on stage to as an object in the mind, physically. And it's a very curious feeling, because I know that in the first scene, it's between Jerry and Emma, and I'm not in it, but I'm also waiting to enter the drama. And I know, as an actor, you know the scene's not about you, so you're not trying to pull focus. But at the same time, you know that some people's eyes are going to be directed that way.
And you have a purpose.
Yes, I do. Well, the purpose is I think as this representational thing, is to say, this character's still here. This character still exists. Is alive. Is moving around in the world, and will be affected by the consequences of this scene that's playing out. And then throughout the play, I start quite far away in the first scene, but actually, as the play goes on, we all get closer and closer together, like planets, kind of moving around the sun. There's a moment where people are just almost too close for comfort. And it's a curious discipline to be passive and alive at the same time. To be kind of a just to be receiving the energy that's coming back from the other two. Mm-hmm. But it's one
it's
I really enjoy,
hard, isn't
there's,
it?
Because there's a. It feels like there's a. Zowie's use of the word triangulation is really important, I think. It feels like there's a charge between the three points in this triangle that is never broken. Mm. And it keeps being passed around. And that's the substance of this affair, is that Jerry was best man at Robert and Emma's wedding. And so the betrayal exists on so many levels.
Yeah.
And Jerry is someone Robert and Emma trusted to be the bearer of the rings at their union. And now Jerry and Emma are having this affair, and then as the play rewinds the clock, Pinter's interest is in all the different levels of betrayal. There's the obvious one, the betrayal of Robert by Jerry or Robert by Emma, but also the betrayal of Jerry by Robert, because Robert doesn't reveal that he knows. The betrayal of Emma by Robert in some way. There must have been a betrayal, otherwise she wouldn't have felt there was a vacancy. And ultimately, I think, Pinter's expressing a basic truth, which is a betrayal of self, that each of these three characters, Robert and Emma and Jerry, in some respect, betray themselves, their truest self, their most authentic self. Mm. And there's a sadness in that.
I want to talk about your, this is going to be weird. I don't mean this weird.
No, please be weird.
Your feet?
Yes.
You act with your feet a lot. So, well, you're also, you're very feline, like feline.
Thank you.
In the good ways and some of the bad ways that we don't like cats.
No, we must be multidimensional. This is good.
So I'm interested in how you wanted to be physically as Emma, because in some ways she is a bit underwritten.
Yeah,
some ways.
Interesting. I will be controversial and say I don't agree with that statement, but I would like to talk to that point. And thank you for saying that about my physicality. I think, just as Tom was saying, you know, these are three characters who someone described to me who came to see the show are in a constellation together, which I think is a really beautiful way of putting it. It's, you know, the moon and the stars and everything in between, and they exist because each other exists. The affair exists because they're all in it to get, you know, mm-hmm. together. And weirdly enough, as soon as the affair, you said this the other day, as soon as the affair ends, it all falls apart, even the marriage, you know, because the affair holds up the marriage and blah, blah. So I think physically, once we were all in the space together and rehearsing, it's a very interesting thing to find, as the only woman in the piece, your connection to sensuality, because there is a connection to sensuality. Mm-hmm. And I'm not joking. I'm not someone who can flirt or be sexy very easily. Okay, I have two modes. I'm either running away from you going, I don't like you, or I'm sort of, or going like, Hi, I love you. And then the other person runs away. So those, so sensuality and all of the mystique that comes with that is actually quite hard for me to access. So maybe there was something in creating something fluid in her, you know, mm-hmm. something that is fluidly moving between these two men, but also something that is fluidly moving very personally for her. The reason why maybe I don't agree with the statement that she's underwritten is there is this real sense that Emma will somehow move on into the future, that her river will continue to flow past these two men, and that actually there is something about Jerry and Robert that stunts them in some way, that they actually won't move that far beyond the beginning/end of the play. And that's where I think the bare feet come in as well. I just wanted to rehearse in bare feet. I knew that I just had to be close to the ground and also embrace something of the 70s bohemia about the play. This play was written in 78, and as Yukarnia said at the beginning, it does feel like it lends itself completely to a modern context now. But there's just something of the bohemia at that time. It was real. Sharing lovers and mm-hmm. creating spaces where you talked about literature and poetry and art, and I knew I had to be connected to the 70s Emma as well as the modern Emma, and so maybe that's where the physicality and the and all those aspects that you're pulling out come from.
What about silence? What were the conversations with Jamie Lloyd, the director, about these long silences?
Well, Pinter writes them in.
I thought you were going to give a long silence before you answered that.
That would have been very meta.
Just to give an example.
How well did they go down on radio, long silences? I don't know. but he, Jamie Lloyd, our director, encouraged us to be brave about these silences and to connect to whatever that inarticulable truth might be that feels so raw and so dangerous that it can only exist in a silent space. And it might be something to do with sadness or anger or despair or loss or grief, or it might be a seductive silence. It might be anything really. Mm. And so trying to be brave enough to connect to the thing that can't be spoken, I suppose. Yeah. And hope that that is transmitted across the footlights into the audience and they go, okay.
Yeah. they are really challenging. They're challenging for us, and I think they're challenging for an audience. And I think so much of his work sort of dares you to look away or to cough or have your mobile phone go off. I'm joking. Yeah. but it's daring you to really sit with us and sit with yourself at the same time. And the more and more time passes in the silences, you can sort of atmospherically feel that happening. And funnily enough, being on, you know, a strip with so many incredible musicals and musical pieces, I feel like the silences and pauses are almost like when people burst into song in a musical. It's like words aren't enough anymore, and now we need to communicate through song.
Yeah.
And it feels the same with the pauses and the silences, that words can't actually do the job anymore, and you need to go into this very, very different space.
That was Zawe Ashton and Tom Hiddleston discussing Betrayal.